This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And happy Monday, everyone. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and here we are at your noon hour, where we are every Monday through Friday to talk about local issues, local ideas, local institutions, and local initiatives. And we've got an individual in the studio today. Dave, by the way, did you have a nice Easter?
I did, and you?
Great. We had such a great week last week on Newsmakers, had great guests, and yes. Friday was so busy, I neglected to tell everybody to have a nice Easter.
Yeah. Well, it's Easter Monday.
Hope everybody had a... It says that on my Google calendar for some
bizarre reason. It's on the calendar, too. It's Easter Monday.
I missed that part in the Bible.
Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Easter Monday.
Well, I hope everyone had a blessed Easter and spent quality time with family and so forth. It was great.
Yeah, we had a fun and exciting time. Traveled to see my daughter, and her refrigerator went out. Her air conditioning went out. And yeah, it was fun trying to save all her food in her fridge, but...
Well, we've got another great week for you on Newsmakers. We're going to have some guests hosting the show this week.
We have a couple
of different guests. I'm traveling out of state for a few days on an endeavor we've talked about here on the show to recruit a commercial airline to Salem. So that'll be great. And we'll have some really good guests coming on. We'll have Denise Nanke will be guest hosting, as well. T.J. Sullivan, president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, will also be a guest host on the program.
Talker.
So if you're sick of listening to Brent and Dave, you're going to have a respite this week. All right, let's get to our guest. We have Jim Bourneau in the studio of Willamette Valley Vineyards. He's like, I don't know, I just have so much respect for Jim. He's been named First Citizen in Salem, and he probably wouldn't like it's like a father of really this whole wine industry. It would not be what it is in Oregon today if we're not for Jim Bourneau.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have said before he even showed up today. This is the first time I've met you, and so many people have said some great things about you.
We could spend the whole show just talking about you, Jim.
Yeah,
well,
we
could just
talk
kind.
About you.
Yeah.
Welcome
right
to the studio.
I hope my daughter's listening.
And you brought wine.
Yes, I did. I bought some special wine for you. But not to drink on the show.
Okay. Yeah. That would get ugly.
That would. Quickly.
So if you're not familiar, and Jim is, what is your title? President?
I'm the founder and CEO of Willamette Valley Vineyards.
So Willamette Valley, right down the street here near Turner. Fabulous. What a fabulous facility as well. You've got a great facility for wine tasting, for events and things like that. And you're right there at the cusp of all those hills of vines. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
It's really
breathtaking.
Nice. And I know you've been involved in the legislature in the past, and you know you were instrumental in getting some laws passed that allowed winery owners to do what they do today.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
So that's maybe we'll save that if we have a little time afterwards, because we do want to talk about the topic of the day for you. There's some bills in the legislature that have to do with winemaking in Oregon that
yes.
concern you. Or are you stumping for? What are they doing? This legislature is not infamous so far being friendly to business, but how are they doing for wine?
You know, they're doing great, actually. The Oregon legislature for many years has been a very strong advocate for the Oregon wine industry. In fact, our industry is a creature of the changes in public policy. The long time ago, the Oregon legislature supported an effort to fund research at Oregon State University in viticulture and enology.
Nice.
That was back in 1983. And I was involved, actually, as a very young director of an association called NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And among my members were these very small vineyards and wineries who wanted help and coaching on how to get this bill passed. And that's how I first professionally came engaged with Oregon winemakers.
Hmm.
And that was the same year that I went out and started planting Pinot Noir. It was in 1983. But our industry over time has grown as a creature of changes in the law. For example, the winery that we built up out on the hill was only possible by a change in the law, which basically got the government out of the way of business development on farmland. And so we got a bill passed that changed wineries from being a conditional use on farmland to wineries being a permitted use on farmland.
Hmm.
And as a consequence, our industry exploded because there was no longer these very expensive legal processes to actually build a winery on farmland.
What a novel concept. You were able to get government out of the business.
Think about that. Think about what that's done. That one change in the law to remove those regulatory obstacles to building a winery on farmland has produced a $5.6 billion industry in the state of Oregon.
Wow.
That 50 years ago did not exist.
That's incredible.
So that's why, you know, that's why we were talking earlier, why it's so important for community leaders and your listeners to be politically involved and to listen to your programming so that they can be effective in influencing their lawmakers. Mm. That's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to come and speak to you both today and
great.
Your listeners is because we got something in the legislature and we need everybody's help.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. We do preach it here. We do preach, you know what's going on, pay attention and speak up.
Yeah.
And actually, and get involved. If it's boards and commissions at the city or the county level, or knowing your legislator, get involved and speak up is absolutely one of the newsmaker talking points. So, how can you do our help? What can we do?
Well, let me start by giving you a little background.
Okay.
And I know you both know about this a little bit. About a year and a half ago, the Oregon wine industry discovered that there was Oregon wine being made in California and was being labeled illegally and
what?
Sold illegally.
Uh-oh.
And it wasn't a small amount. It became the number one selling Oregon Pinot Noir above $19 a bottle in the nation. And it was unlawful. And the Oregon Liquor Control Commission could only do what they could do right in Oregon. This winery's in California. They're not licensed as a winery in Oregon.
Right.
But they did have a certificate. So the OLCC had a little bit of a hook because they were shipping their wines into the state. So the OLCC had a little bit of a hook. So the OLCC is in the process of revocating their certificate. But all this winery has to do is walk away from selling wine in the state of Oregon. They can sell their wine throughout the nation, throughout the world, violating Oregon law, and there's nothing we can do about it. So here's what we've got. We got Senate Bill 111. It's now called Senate Bill 111A. This bill has just passed out of Senate Judiciary Committee. So I got a shout out to Senator Kim Thatcher.
Nice.
Who is an awesome senator, by the way.
We've had her on the show. She's great.
Great lady.
Yes, she's awesome.
Yeah, great
and
lady.
And she was one of our key votes on the Senate Judiciary Committee to vote that bill out of with a due pass referred to Ways and Means. So that bill is now sitting down in Ways and Means to be considered. And so now we're just going out talking to as many people. I've been out speaking to a lot of Rotaries. Asking Rotary members, the first thing is the four-way test. If you're involved in Rotary, I've been for many years, but I just can't go to the meetings anymore. But there's the four-way test, and the first question is it the truth?
Right.
That's the first question. And so that's basically what this bill's about. This bill's about telling the truth on your labels.
Yeah, let's talk about that wine a little bit so people know exactly what's going on. Are they taking Oregon grapes and going across the border and then saying, this is an Oregon wine?
Now, believe it or not, you can legally do that.
It's just in the labeling, right?
But they're doing more than that. What they're doing is they're not only taking Oregon grapes, making a wine they're calling made from Oregon grapes, but then they're misrepresenting on their label and on their packaging what it is.
Hmm.
For example, under the federal and state law, you can't label a wine from the Willamette Valley because the Willamette Valley is a federally designated AVA, American Viticultural Area. It's like a pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a master's degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you use your labels, your resume, or your case box, your resume for your product, right? And on your resume, you got to tell the truth. And you can't put your graduate degree if you didn't earn it.
Yeah.
Right? That's lying. And so that's basically consumer fraud.
Right.
And that's what's happened. And the Senate and the OLCC can't do much about it because if this producer decides not to sell their wine in Oregon, they can sell it all over the world falsely. deceiving consumers. And so that's what this bill's about. Senate Bill 111A, it's in the Ways and Means. And anybody who sees Senator Kim Thatcher, thank her. Thank her.
All right. We're talking to Jim Bourneau, a founder and the CEO of Willamette Valley Vineyards, about the wine industry, about protecting the wine industry in Oregon. And we'll be right back to find out what the solution is and how this can come to a stop. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Welcome back to your Monday.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And in the studio today, we have Jim Bourneau, founder, CEO of Willamette Valley Vineyards. We're talking about legislation, and we're talking about lies, actually. We're talking about consumer fraud coming out of California having to do with Willamette Valley wine that we should be not just proud of, but protective of. So Senate Bill 111A, it sounds like it's going to have an amendment there somewhere, deals with this. So what we're talking about, let's clarify, that they are putting on their labels the words Willamette Valley, but they don't have enough content of the grapes to do so. Is that right?
Well, it's unlawful anywhere in the country, including Oregon, to make a wine outside the state of origin and use an AVA, an American viticultural area. Mm-hmm. So we have these famous viticultural areas that are like pedigrees. Mm-hmm. Willamette Valley is one of them, Umpqua Valley, Rogue Valley. And then you probably heard of sub-ABAs like Dundee Hills, Eola Hills, Amity Eola Hills. There's these Yamhill Carlton. These are very special pedigrees, and you have to follow the law to be able to use that on your label. And the law is very strict, and consumers rely upon them. Well, all that wine legally has to be made in the state of Oregon in order to use that designation. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that because the laws are unique to the state, the wine has to be made in the state so the state can assure that you are abiding by the law because you're subject to its conditions,
right,
and its penalties. So if you're making wine outside the state, you're not subject to the law. That's where the violation is.
So who should be enforcing this?
Well, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission is trying the very best they can. They have an executive director by the fellow Steve Marks is the executive director, and I have never seen a most aggressive and effective director of a state agency ever. I've had a lot of experience over the years. This fellow is on top of it, and he's got a top-notch staff at the OLCC. They're top-notch. The problem is that they don't have legal jurisdiction outside our state's boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And so when we asked Steve Marks, well, what do we do about this? And he says, well, I need statutory authority from the legislature to enter into enforcement agreements with other states.
Ooh, okay.
And so if he can go and negotiate and get agreements with other states, then the license that's held by the state of California can be then put in jeopardy if they violate a state law from Oregon. So that's the key.
Let's cycle back, though, if you would. Who should have jurisdiction to enforce this that's not doing their job? Is that an FDA thing, ATF thing? Which one of those acronyms of the federal government's not paying attention?
Well, the federal government does have lots of authority because we get a license from the feds as well as we get a license from the state. But the federal law only relates to federal conditions. So the federal law has certain things that they enforce.
Like taxes.
Right. A lot of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But the federal law does not enforce state law with respect to AVAs, with respect to these American viticultural areas. Mm-hmm. The federal law is actually silent. So there's like a hole. And this producer calls it a loophole.
Yep.
That's what this producer's calling it. But it's really not a loophole. It's just a gap in enforcement. Mm-hmm. It's what it really is. And it's fraud. And we're after it. And so this bill has actually drawn some opposition. It's drawn opposition from the company called Coppercane. who's violating the law. So they've hired a couple lobbyists, really tough ones, really good ones in Oregon. And they've hired a former state senator from Southern Oregon. They've got a top-notch PR firm out of Washington, D.C. involved. I mean, they're tough, right? Mm. These guys are tough. And so we are in a fight. And then they have suppliers. And Brent, you brought up the issue. Well, there's probably suppliers that are aiding and abetting this.
Right.
Well, they do have suppliers here in Oregon, both wine grape growers as well as bulk wine suppliers.
Hmm.
And they are being told by their California buyer, their customer, hey, stop this bill. So we have some opposition.
Hmm.
Wow. It's just hard to imagine that there's legislators at the Capitol that are listening to a DC PR firm instead of protecting the Oregon wine industry.
Yeah.
Well, you know how it is. There's one other piece of this bill I got to tell you about that's even more frustrating.
Oh, boy.
And this gets everybody's blood up. The Oregon law, for good reason, requires all wineries to pay what's called a grape tax. It's $25 a ton. And what the grape tax goes to pay for is it pays for research at Oregon State University, which we need. We need professors down there. We need researchers down there because they help do things that we as small business can't do.
Sure.
You know, they do things that none of us individually are capable of doing as a small business owner. And they're really good. Then the other piece of that $25 a ton goes to promote Brand Oregon through the promotion efforts of the state, through what's called the Oregon Wine Board. And that's part of the reason why our wine's so popular around the country is because they go out and tell the story really well.
Mm.
Well, that Brand Oregon bus, basically, is supported by this $25 grape tax. Now, just guess who isn't paying it. Yeah, that's
right. The California winemaker.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And so there's a problem with the law. The law has to be fixed in order for that to get addressed properly. But right now, the growers that are growing for this copper cane company, making this product called Eluan, it's Eluan Pinot Noir, and a rosé, their growers aren't paying the tax.
Why not?
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, so it's grown in Oregon. They got to pay the tax.
They got to pay the tax, and they're not paying it. So this bill, Senate Bill 111A, what it does is it fixes that. And that's part of the reason why we're getting lots of complaints, right, from these growers, because they don't want to pay the tax. But my view is, look, if you want to ride on the Brand Oregon bus, you got to pay your fare.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like all the rest of us are paying our fare.
Yeah. So is their contention is that they're selling their grapes to California, so therefore they don't have to pay the Oregon tax? Is that their contention?
The law already says they got to pay the tax.
Wow. Send the tax man.
Right.
But there's a problem there.
That's how they got the Al Capone, right?
Yeah, that's right. There's a bit of a problem there, and that's because the OLCC doesn't know who they are because they're not licensed by the OLCC. So this bill fixes that problem. So it's really just statutes that need to be fixed is what the issue is here.
Has anybody ever gone down and knocked on the door and said, hey, stop doing that?
Oh, let me tell you. Here's what the Oregon Liquor Control Commission.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
So the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's investigated this whole thing. And they found something like 6 violations of state law by this producer, Copper Cane, making this product called Eluan. So they have then sent a letter to Copper Cane saying, we're proposing to revoke your certificate to do business in the state of Oregon. Now, under the Administrative Procedures Act, you have an opportunity to appeal, right? And so that's what Copper Cane's doing right now, is they're going through a legal proceeding to appeal their certificate to ship wine in the state of Oregon. But a revocation proceeding. But what I'm telling you is that if at the end of that proceeding he's found guilty, which clearly it's going to happen, right?
Right.
He can have his certificate revoked, which means he can't sell his wine in Oregon. Big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's 1% of the American market. And he'll get a $5,000 fine.
That's it?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. He's selling over 100,000 cases of this wine a year.
Around the country or around the world?
Around the world.
Oh, wow.
Over 100,000 cases. It's misrepresented. He's done probably $25 to $35 million in sales. And he's going to end up paying a $5,000 fine.
What about the taxes are not being paid? Can that go retroactive? And I mean, it just seems like you send the Oregon Department of Revenue after them, and they have to pay the taxes of every grape that they sold.
Right? Well, you know, the
Could
thing is
that cycle the, back the way
the law
ticket?
The way the law works, it's not Department of Revenue, it's OLCC. Mm-hmm. The OLCC under the statute is required to collect the tax.
All right, we're talking to Jim Bruneau at Willamette Valley Vineyards. Jim, help us understand, because you're embroiled in this and you live it. I don't understand somebody's life. You're sending your tax money to somebody, and they would miss it if you didn't send the taxes, but you still ship the crates. How is somebody else not paying the tax without the tax man banging down their door?
The reason why
you're doing it voluntarily, and other people say, "Well, if they're
no,
not
no,
ask
we're
for
doing
it.
We no, actually, all of us pay the tax because we're obligated to pay the tax.
So is that? So and are
we,
they?
We would lose our license if we did not pay that tax. But that's the point I'm saying. Under the present law, they're not going to lose their winery license if they don't pay the tax because they're in California. It's a California winery license.
Mm. But it's the people that grew those little plump little grapes.
They're not licensed.
License.
They don't have a license with the OLCC. They're farmers.
Because they're farmers.
Right. Oh, so they don't have any license to lose.
Gotcha.
They don't have a winery.
That's right.
I get it.
So that's why Senate Bill 111, with its reciprocity with other states, gives the OLCC the long arm of the law to reach down into California and make sure that they abide by the law.
How is California as far as, are they being agreeable in terms of, would they cooperate with the OLCC?
The OLCC has had contact with the California law enforcement officers, and they are finding very positive response. But they have to have statutory authority to do these things.
Mm.
Okay. We got to take a break. Do you want to stay another 10 minutes and
I'd
talk about what your
I'd
wine?
Oh, I got so much to talk about.
Okay.
I'm just getting started.
All right. Hey, it's a thrill to have Jim Bruneau here with us on Newsmakers. So stick around. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Catch you guys all up. We have Jim Bruneau in the studio talking about how Oregon farmers are growing grapes. They're selling it to a California wine producer. They ship the grapes out. They make the wine in California, and they're trying to slap on that this is a Willamette Valley wine. And on top of that, escape the tax man that everybody else in Oregon in the winery business has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So Senate Bill 111A is being heard in the Senate right now, and they need your help to get this thing passed. It fixes a couple of loopholes. Loopholes is the nicest way to put it, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah,
I think consumer fraud is not too harsh, but it fixes a couple holes. So the OLCC can advocate on behalf of Oregon business and Oregon interests in cooperation with California. So it does a collaborative thing so they can have joint enforcement actions. So the California one, when they put consumer misleading labeling, they can be forced to be complied to adhere with the law, and also so that they can collect the taxes that everybody else in the Willamette Valley is paying.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, two big fixes. Senate Bill 111A. It's in, you said Senator Thatcher helped you get it out of one committee, and
yes,
now it's going to go to the next committee before it goes to the floor. It's kind of a long haul still.
It is. It's a long way to go.
So how is our local contingent doing as far as support of this?
Well, first of all, Senator Jackie Winters is one of the chairs of what's called the Wine Caucus. These are senators and representatives who are strongly supportive of the Oregon wine industry. Senator Jackie Winters has been honored, actually, by the Oregon Wine Growers Association as one of our top advocates. She is amazing. In fact, I can tell you that she has been a huge help to Willamette Valley Vineyards as well in dealing with our regulatory issues. Amazing legislator. I wish she could serve for another century.
Yeah, yeah, we do too. She was a great guest.
On. Yeah,
we do have you know, strong support from you know, there's you know, Brian Clem, for example, who's a strong supporter of our industry here in Oregon. And there's others in this area. Bill Post served on the House Economic Development and Trade Committee this interim. And he was a very strong advocate for the development of this bill before it actually was introduced in the session. So Bill Post had quite a role to play in forming this bill. So I really appreciate the help he's given us.
Are we getting bipartisan? Like, how is... Mr. Evans, Representative Evans. And
oh, yeah. Representative Paul Evans, yeah. Very strongly in favor of our industry. So we're lucky, actually.
And Peter Courtney. And
Peter Courtney, very strong supporter of Good. Our industry, although he's not a wine drinker. But he is a very strong advocate. So we're very, very lucky. We've always been lucky. Look at our county commission, for example. Mm-hmm. We have an excellent county commission who's been very strongly supportive of our industry. So we're blessed, actually, to have the representation that we do in local government here.
No matter who they are, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, no matter what, they should all be for Oregon business.
Yes.
And helping to protect our businesses that are here like that.
Absolutely.
Like the wineries.
Do you think it would not be a struggle for people to vote in what's best for Oregon overall?
Yeah, right?
And it's disheartening to hear that there's so much pressure from lobbyists and PR firms from out of state, and that they're making traction, and we actually have to wage this battle.
We're in a fight, actually. We're in a fight to protect the state of Oregon, mm-hmm. and you know, we've already had to amend the bill, right, to remove some of the provisions that some of these Copper King growers found really objectionable. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you briefly about is in Oregon, it's against the law to use California grapes in making Oregon wine, as you'd imagine, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Sure.
Well, when the wine grapes get shipped to California, it's not illegal for them to do it there. So what they can do legally in California is they can put a product in their wine called Mega Purple. And Mega Purple is a concentrate made of the ruby red grape grown in California. It's very dark and it's grapey. Uh-huh. Now, why would they do that? Why would they put that in the wine?
It's cheaper.
Yes, it's cheaper. It's like a dye, basically. So you can get some really kind of cheap fruit, yield really high, right? And then you can ship it down there. You can add this additive or this concentrate to it. And then you can pass it off to the consumer as an Oregon Pinot Noir.
Oh, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't at all. It hurts us. It hurts us greatly.
Sure.
It hurts all law-abiding growers. It hurts all law-abiding wineries. And so this is going to be a big issue, because now we're paying attention to what's going on, and we're going to do something about this. So that's the next big issue coming. And I wanted just to share that to you, because I'm hoping I get to come back and talk to you about that.
Yeah. Is that just a state thing, or should the feds get involved with that?
It's not a federal issue. It's only a state issue. Oregon has a law. This is one of the reasons why, you look and say, okay, in our lifetimes, Brent, Dave, in our lifetimes,
yeah,
this industry has grown up to become one of the most recognized, one of the most revered in the world. How did that happen? Well, the first thing is when Oregon started this industry, it said, we're going to have the highest rules, the highest standards.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, only 100% Oregon grapes. We said, if you're going to put a varietal name on the label, it's got to be 90% of that variety. Not 75% like the federal law.
Right.
Or like California.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use Willamette Valley or Rogue Valley on your label, it's got to be 95% from that valley. Federal law is 85.
And it's going to be made here in Oregon.
It's got to be made in the state of Oregon. These high standards have created a foundation for the Oregon wine industry to become a $5.6 billion asset to the state of Oregon.
You're really getting me fired up here, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just getting more and more wrong.
Right.
Absolutely.
Getting, I mean.
Well, I got another story to tell you, which is this wine that I brought for you, for Dave and Brent, for you, both of you.
I brought that one's mine, Dave.
I brought a wine called, I brought two of each, fellas.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
This is called Oregon Solidarity. So here's what happened. The Oregon wine industry went and complained to the legislature. Actually, Bill Post was on the committee. It's an interim committee to the legislature. And we went and said, look, we got this California winemaker who's defrauding the public. And it's hurting us. And the legislature said, we're going to introduce a bill and we're going to do something about this. Less than 5 days later, this California company canceled their grape contracts in the Rogue Valley.
Ooh.
2,000 tons, 18 vineyards were left out to dry, and they only had a few days to find a place for their crop, which was impossible, right? And they claimed they're canceling the contracts because of smoke taint.
Remember that, Brent?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And we said, you know what? That's not true. We know what's going on. So the Oregon winemakers got together and said, we're going to figure out how to help these Rogue Valley growers deal with the dishonesty of this California producer. So we went down there and picked those grapes. Now, we couldn't pick them all because we didn't have enough time. We didn't even have enough space, right?
Right.
I called Ed King and I said, Ed King, have you got any space? He says, Jim, he says, we're going to need more than space. This is too much volume. We're going to have to create a brand. He said, let's call it the Solidarity Vintage. Let's get our other winemakers involved. This is the first time in history a wine has been made by multiple wineries, multiple winemakers to save growers.
Nice.
And so this was because of the fire season, right?
Yeah.
Well, I brought this wine for you, not just to show you and give it as a gift, but I wanted you to taste it. Not on the show, mind you. But I wanted you to taste it, and I wanted you to call me back and say, Jim, there's no smoke taint in that wine. And you know what? There isn't. It was a lie, just like what's on the labels is a lie. And this Oregon Solidarity is a fundraiser for the Rogue Valley growers who had their grapes contracts canceled and had no insurance.
So where can you find this bottle?
Safeway's on board. Fred Meyer's on board. Ross Fresh Markets.
Nice.
It's got big stacks of it. And there are others. Even Costco took some of the wine in to help. So the rosé is already sold out. We think the Chardonnay will sell out quickly and the Pinot Noir will be released in August. It's a fundraiser. All the net proceeds going to the Rogue Valley Vintners to help the uninsured growers in dealing with their losses.
You can kind of see why the Oregon winery industry would not be the same without Jim Brunel.
Yeah, right?
Somebody take leadership, somebody to take action, and somebody to speak up when we need to protect and to grow so that people can make money and so this sector can explode to what it's become. It's incredible. Because originally, and this goes back to the first part of the show, but you weren't able to serve food and have a winery and visitation and things like that prior to having that law changed way back.
Right? That's right. You can thank Senator Jackie Winters and at the time, Representative Kevin Cameron. Huh? Representative Kevin Cameron was instrumental in getting that law changed. And if you think about it, look what he's done.
Yeah.
All right, folks, let's paint that picture. So some grapes from Oregon, from the Willamette Valley, might be going to California, and then they can put in California grapes of whatever they want, and then they're trying to slap the Willamette Valley label on it, even though it's a blended product with potentially substandard grapes, shall we say? That's the nicest way to put it.
Right.
They're polluting it down, and that hurts the brand of a Willamette Valley.
It does.
And the reputation, because they get this colored wine that's only partial Willamette Valley grapes, and it was made out of state.
And they're not paying taxes.
Right. Now, there's one final thing, that is that when this happens, you degrade the value of Oregon, the value of our brand. You think about how much the public's invested in that.
Yeah, right.
The taxpayer, in fact, has spent millions of dollars developing the Oregon brand by investing in the research at OSU for grapes and viticulture and enology. So the taxpayers got a lot at stake here, too. But here's another thing I wanted you to think about. These AVAs, like Willamette Valley or Dundee Hills or Yamhill Carlton, these are special designations. All the farmers that have land in those AVAs have had huge increases in values in equity of their land because of the fidelity and the integrity that's in the wine that carries those AVAs on the label. Over the years, the value of Oregon farmland has gone up by hundreds of millions of dollars because of Oregon's high standards. And I can give you example after example of how that's happened. So if we allow a California winery to degradate the Oregon brand or these AVA brands, Willamette Valley or Dundee Hills and so on, they will destroy hundreds of millions of dollars of equity value that our citizens have in their land. So farmers have a huge stake in making sure we stop this nonsense.
All right. Look, we're going to finish up the hour. We're telling you what we want you to do. Yeah. What can we do to get Senate Bill 111A passed? And also, I've got a question about who's distributing this? Oregon distributors must be distributing it. Oregon retailers must be retailing it. And so I'm going to ask Jim Bruneau that when we come back here on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This just feels like breaking news today, like an expose in some criminal enterprise. They're a wine manufacturer out of California, taking Willamette Valley grapes, mixing it with Mega Purple, and trying to sell it as a Willamette Valley wine.
Now, mind you, this is Jim. We don't know if it's been mixed with Mega Purple. All we're saying is that there is nothing legally preventing them in the California to do that, which is unlawful in the state of Oregon.
Right.
Are they using 90% Willamette Valley grapes in making it?
We have no idea.
And do you think most of them are coming from Rogue Valley area? Yeah? He's shaking his head yes.
Yes. We don't have all the details of all the sources, but we do know that...
They're basically farmers that... are just growing the grapes and shipping it.
That's right.
They're not processing it.
That's right.
It.
We know that the majority of the grapes are coming from Southern Oregon, which, by the way, is not the Willamette Valley.
Correct.
And under Oregon law, it has to be 95% Willamette Valley made in Oregon to use the brand Willamette Valley.
Right.
All right. What can we do to help? I'm talking to Jim
Okay, Bernal. So here it is. Brent, thank you for asking me that question. And I hope that you're ready to make your phone calls and write your emails to Senator Betsy Johnson. She's the co-chair of Ways and Means, and she shares that relationship with Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward. And then also in the House, there's a co-chair, Representative Dan Rayfield. And Dan Rayfield is from the Corvallis area. Betsy Johnson's from the North Coast,
right.
Scappoose to Astoria. And then Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward is from the metro area, I guess up there, Tri-County area. Anyway, those are the three decision makers that will decide if Senate Bill 111 moves forward to a subcommittee.
That's 111A, right?
111A.
Okay.
And those are the three leaders that will make that decision. So they're the key. Now, I want you to know that every one of these I just mentioned are strong advocates of the Oregon wine industry.
Okay.
So we don't think we're going to have too much trouble there. We hope we don't, right? And then it'll get referred to the subcommittee in Ways and Means that deals with transportation and economic development. And the co-chairs there, we know, are very strongly in favor of this measure. In fact, it was Representative David Gomberg, who's a Democrat from the coast, from the Lincoln City area, who was one of the very first legislators to pursue this issue because he actually stumbled across this product in a grocery store.
Interesting.
And it said Oregon Coast on the case box, Oregon Coast Pinot Noir. And he says, they're not growing any Pinot Noir on the Oregon coast.
No kidding.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Hey, if you've never done this, what Jim's asking you to do, you go to Mr. Google, you go to Uncle Google, and you do Senator Betsy Johnson, Oregon, and they'll pop up a page. You go to her page, you click the email, and you just, all you have to do is send them an email that says, I favor SB 111A. SB for Senate Bill 111A. and their offices tally these things.
That's
and
right.
If you get, that's all it takes, folks. If you've never done it, if you've never reached out to a senator representative, here's a cause you can help. Betsy Johnson, is it Senator Steinward?
Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, and then Representative Dan Rayfield.
Dan Rayfield. Any of those, our local contingent, but say, hey, I've heard about Senate Bill 111A. I encourage you to support it. That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You can send all three in, you know, like 2 minutes.
Right.
So
minutes.
Ask Uncle Google, look for their legislative office. You click right there, and then there's like, email me, and one of the staff people will read it, and they will tally how many supporters there are to get SB 111A passed.
Yes,
or you can pick up the phone and call them too.
Absolutely, and Dave and Brent, I'd like to remind your listeners that within this listenership are some remarkable political leaders of our community, and so if you ever see Senator Kim Thatcher or Representative Bill Post, thank him.
Yeah,
will do, will do. And lastly, I promised before the break a little bit. So, are there Oregon companies that are distributors that are buying this stuff out of California and selling to the retailers and the retailers selling to the public?
Yes, there are. And I want to first remind you that distributors and retailers rely upon the representations of the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, they should have a presumption that the manufacturer is following the law. I think it's only fair. In fact, Senate Bill 111A actually says that they're not to be held responsible for the misrepresentations of the manufacturer. So that's actually a benefit to our retailers, our grocers, and a benefit to wholesalers who are unwittingly selling a product that's unlawful. But if the consumer wants to know what wine to avoid, I would probably avoid a product called Eluon Pinot Noir and Rosé. Those are probably the products that you'd probably want to shy away from.
Okay.
or anything labeled Oregon Coast wine.
Well, we know they downgrade Pinot Noir on the Oregon coast. You know you got a problem there.
Yeah, right.
So, Jim, and if you just joined us, we're talking to Jim Verneau, the founder and CEO of Willamette Valley Vineyards. Have you tasted this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And how does it fare? How does it match up to a true Willamette Valley wine?
You know, I think that's, maybe it would be kind of fun is for people to do their own little home parties.
But then we have to buy it. I don't want to buy it.
Well, that's true. I see your point.
Yeah.
But you know, it's, you know, everyone's tastes are different. And so I would just try the different wines and make your mind up. But I think what's important is that we should all expect whoever is presenting a product to us to tell the truth, right?
Yeah.
So indeed. Let's start there. Let's make sure that everybody's telling the truth
and paying their fair share.
Absolutely.
The taxes.
There's nothing worse if you're a taxpayer and you're paying what you owe, and someone else is not. That's just not right.
Yeah.
I used to be in the gasoline business, and can you imagine me paying my diesel tax, and then the guy down the road doesn't have to pay it?
Yeah, you'd be mad.
Like, if we're paying for the infrastructure and the marketing, is what it goes to,
right.
It goes for branding Oregon and for research at OSU, then everybody else should have to pay as well. Right? Let's make it equitable. Thank you, Jim Verneau, for being here. Thanks for the wine, by the way. And
yes.
Thanks for all you've done. Honestly, thanks for all you've done for the Oregon wine industry. And thanks for such a beautiful facility just south of town.
Brent and Dave, thank you so much.
Hey, you're more than welcome.
Hey, folks, it's a great Monday. Very important stuff to start your week. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening. And stick with us later in the week. We'll have Denise in of the Denise and Gator Show filling in a couple of days this week.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.